For WMRA News, I'm Bob Livicki. Lou Ray's town council members call out the mayor for a racist Facebook post. An NPR analysis finds that Virginia's budget has taken a big hit due to the pandemic, but not as big as most other states. Some of the worst outbreaks of COVID-19 have been in nursing homes, and we'll compare the situation at two facilities in Virginia, beginning today with the deadly flare-up at one facility in Page County. Thanks for listening to the WMRA Daily. This is Tuesday, August 4th. Members of Luray's town council are criticizing a racist Facebook post by Mayor Barry Pressgraves. On Sunday evening, Pressgraves posted on the social media site that, quote, Joe Biden has just announced Aunt Jemima as his VP pick. After seeing the post, council member Jerry Shiro said in an emailed statement that such comments are, quote, particularly concerning and divisive when made by elected officials. He said Pressgraves' thinking did not represent Luray town council members. Council member Leah Pence wrote on Facebook that she had asked Pressgraves to resign over the comment. The Aunt Jemima brand was retired in June by Quaker Oats after the company said it was based on a racial stereotype. Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, is expected to announce his pick for vice president soon. He has promised to choose a woman, and candidates on his shortlist reportedly include several black women. Pressgraves has served as mayor of Luray since 2008. His post has been deleted. Richmond Circuit Court Judge W. Riley Marchant has given state officials both a victory and a blow in two court cases over the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee in Richmond. Marchant dismissed one lawsuit on Monday, but at the same time extended an injunction in a second suit. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain sorts it out for us.
The second lawsuit is similar to the first in that it rests on Virginia's actions back in the late 1800s, when the legislature and governor at the time accepted the monument and land as a gift. But in this case, the plaintiffs aren't descendants of the deed's signatories, like in the first case. Instead, they're residents and property owners in the Monument Avenue Historic District. They argue removing the statue could impact their property values. Rich Schrager at UVA's law school says that gives them a stronger case.
They are arguing that they are beneficiaries of that agreement and that that agreement should bind the Commonwealth and prevent them from removing the statue.
Schrager predicts that with a trial still pending and a likely appeal, the Lee statue may still stand for a while yet. In a statement, Governor Northam says he looks forward to more legal wins and insists the statue will come down. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Democratic leaders in Virginia have agreed to press pause on more than $2 billion in new spending, much of which was set to take effect this summer. An NPR analysis of state budgets around the country finds that Virginia is not alone in taking a severe hit from the pandemic. From March to May, tax revenue was down 16% in Virginia compared with the same period last year. But Virginia has actually fared better than many other states. On average, state budgets have dropped by 29%. Most states have experienced a significant reduction in tax revenue since the pandemic hit in March. In Virginia, after Democrats passed the state's most progressive budget in recent history, tax revenues have slowed and the future is uncertain. Unlike the federal government, Virginia and most states are constitutionally required to balance their budgets. Governor Ralph Northam plans to gather lawmakers for a special session later this month to adjust the state's spending plan due to the lost revenue, primarily from income and sales tax dips. Lawmakers will also consider a host of criminal justice reform efforts this month. They will be under intense pressure to take action, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Marcus David Peters was an unarmed black man experiencing a mental health crisis when he was killed by Richmond police.
Does anybody see us? Does anybody hear us? Does anybody care?
That's his sister, Princess Blanding, who's working with advocates for criminal justice reform to create a Marcus Alert System named after her late brother to have mental health experts, not police officers, serve as first responders to people experiencing a crisis.
We all know and understand that this system was never created to serve nor protect our black people.
She's not alone. Over the last month, a new coalition known as the Virginia Coalition for Transforming Police has formed to help push lawmakers to realize that the time for reform is now. Kofi Annan is president of the Activated People.
The legislative priorities aim to reduce police responsibilities and budgets and transfer non-criminal offenses to organizations that are better suited to handle people experiencing mental health crisis or emotional trauma.
The group's legislative package calls for an end to school resource officers, a ban on racial profiling, reducing the number of justifications for pretextual stops, and a mandate for local civilian review boards that can investigate police misconduct. I'm Michael Pope.
Former Speaker of the House Kirk Cox says he's considering a run for governor in a Facebook post Monday. Cox accused Governor Ralph Northam of failing to show leadership in the face of the pandemic. From partner station VPM, Ben Pavier reports.
Kirk Cox says he never would have considered a run for governor 8 months ago. Democrats had just won control of the House and Senate, and Cox lost his post as one of the most powerful Republicans in the state. The former civics teacher kept a low profile as Democrats passed items he once blocked, everything from gun control to the Equal Rights Amendment. In a Facebook post, Cox said the pandemic and recent protests have made him interested in higher office. He said Northam had failed to lead on issues like COVID-19 testing and reopening schools. Cox says he'll hold off launching a campaign until after November's elections. State Senator Amanda Chase, a hard-right conservative, is so far the only Republican to formally announce a run. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Finally today, a reported COVID-19 outbreak at a nursing home in Charlottesville has killed at least 17 residents. Since the pandemic began, more than half of Virginians who have died from the disease were residents of long-term care facilities. We're taking a look this week at how two nursing homes in Virginia have fared. In Luray, Mallory Nopain begins with the story of how an infection spread unchecked.
This is the story of Skyview Springs, a skilled nursing home on the outskirts of Luray, home to one of the worst COVID-19 outbreaks in the state. Since the outbreak began at the end of April, about a fifth of the residents here, more than 20 people, died. An interim administrator eventually answered some of my questions, though that didn't happen initially. I came to Skyview Springs to speak with the facility administrator, but at the last minute, the interview was canceled. Higher-ups at the company chose not to make someone available to talk to me. When I visited in late July, the outbreak had mostly passed. Red ribbons were tied on trees outside. Inside, over the course of 3 months, nearly everyone had caught the virus. I pieced together how that happened through a 40-page inspection report detailing the facility's response to the outbreak and an interview with Colin Green, director of the local health district.
By the time we realized there was an outbreak, more than half the residents were already sick. And enough of the staff was sick that it was a struggle just to keep the facility functioning.
That's when they made a tough call. Federal standards say positive and negative patients should be separated. But Skyview Springs, in partnership with the local health department, decided not to do that. Green says they didn't have the manpower to move people around, and residents shared rooms. He says it was the worst case scenario.
If you've got two roommates, this one's positive, this one's negative, and you say, gee, let's move this guy or lady, this person may already be infected. So you can take this person and move them over here with the uninfected people, and then they turn positive and infect all these folks over here. It's not that simple.
So the goal became to isolate in place. But as state regulators would soon find out, during an unannounced visit, even that didn't happen. For instance, they saw a positive and negative resident sitting together in a common area without masks. They watched staff without gloves or a gown put their arm around a positive resident who was wandering the halls and then immediately go take care of a negative resident.
Yeah, that's what the report said. So, I mean, those aren't good things. It shouldn't have been happening. And, I mean, having seen that, I can understand why the investigators reacted the way they did.
Contrary to earlier guidance from the health department, state regulators demanded positive and negative patients be separated, and if possible, only allow staff to work with one group or the other.
There were so many mixed messages that were sent here.
Mary Helen McSweeney-Feld is an expert on nursing home administration. She says what happened at Skyview Springs is a tragic example of how the system for responding to emergencies failed.
Was it the nursing home's fault? Was it the Department of Health's fault? Was it the state survey team's fault? The real kind of coordinated response that you'd want to see in a pandemic was just not in place here.
McSweeney-Feld says it's not realistic to expect all nursing home staff to be sufficiently trained for a pandemic of this scope. Instead, she says, the burden should be on local, state, and federal officials to have an emergency plan and a team of experts ready to swoop in and triage.
And if they had had a team like that that came in April, maybe the result would have been better.
Local Health Director Colin Green says his office and staff at Skyview Springs did the best they could with the resources available.
It was a very difficult time. And it's most tragic, obviously, for the people and their families, but for the folks taking care of them, it's heart-wrenching.
But whether it was preventable, Green won't speculate. In the future, he says, nursing homes should focus on preventing the spread of the virus in the first place by following rigorous infection control. Tomorrow, we visit a nursing home in Richmond that's managed to do just that. In Luray, I'm Mallory Nopain.
That report from Mallory and tomorrow's follow-up from Megan Pauley of VPM in Richmond is possible as part of a statewide partnership among NPR member stations, including WMRA. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.